Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. You know the drill. Make sure you get plenty of calcium to prevent bone loss and osteoporosis. Dietary sources of calcium are the best choice, but many of us take calcium supplements to ensure we get enough. And isn't a calcium supplement better than nothing at all? You might think so, but there's contradictory advice.
Scientific research continually updates what we know about health, and often previously held beliefs are overturned by new studies and recommendations. Calcium can prevent bone loss, but some argue calcium supplements may increase the risk of heart disease by causing plaque in the arteries in older adults. Here to address the calcium supplement issue is Dr. Taylor Wallace, an affiliate professor in the Department of Nutrition and Food Studies at George Mason University and former senior director of science policy and government relations at the National Osteoporosis Foundation.
Dr. Wallace, thank you for coming on Take Care. We appreciate your time.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Before we talk about the possible connection between calcium supplements and heart disease, would you explain the role that calcium plays in our bodies?
Absolutely. So calcium plays multiple roles in our bodies. We often think about calcium as being healthy for our bones, but it's also very involved in processes like muscle contractions all throughout the body. Now, your blood calcium levels stay the same no matter what. The difference is when you don't get calcium from the diet, your body compensates by pulling that calcium from your bone where it can bring blood levels back to what's normal. And so that's why it's increasingly important that everyone get enough calcium. Osteoporosis is a huge public health epidemic. Over 50% of individuals over the age of 50 have either osteoporosis or a condition called low bone mass, otherwise known as osteopenia. And calcium intakes definitely can help prevent or drive, in some instances, the progression of that disease.
So let's talk about how much calcium we should be consuming daily. And I know different parts of the population, women and men and young and old, may have different requirements. What is the overall advice?
So the overall advice is to get your daily value of calcium, which is 1,300 milligrams per day. That covers the entire population. Some individuals need a little bit less, but 1,300 covers the entire population.
I was thinking that, let's say, postmenopausal women or young girls were supposed to get slightly higher than the rest of us.
Right. So younger individuals in their teenage years should get about 1,300 milligrams a day. Older postmenopausal females should get about 1,300 milligrams a day. The rest of us need about 1,200 milligrams. So for that reason, the Food and Drug Administration just kind of gives the daily value as 1,300 just because it covers everyone.
So, of course, trying to get that amount of calcium on a daily basis might be a little challenging if you're just relying on food sources. How easy is it to get 1,300 milligrams of calcium in your diet if you're just strictly using food as a source?
It's actually fairly difficult. Our national dietary guidelines recommend all adult Americans have 3 cups of low or non-fat milk per day. And that's basically because milk is a huge driver of calcium intake in the U.S. Now, there are some other ways that you can get your calcium, like through dark leafy green vegetables. However, your body doesn't really absorb that calcium as efficiently as it does from milk. So for that reason, it's really important that we push dairy or what we call dairy equivalents like soy milk or almond milk that may be fortified with calcium at the same level as dairy.
So speaking of foods that are fortified with calcium, how exactly is that done? And is that in the same category of what we would get in a supplement?
So that's a great question. And that was one of my biggest arguments when it came to the calcium supplement and cardiovascular disease issue, because actually when you look at a fortified orange juice or a fortified soy milk, the same calcium is being put into those products as what's in the calcium supplement pill. And one of the arguments against the cardiovascular disease issue is that if we see it from supplements, we should be seeing it from fortified food since it's the same ingredient.
So bring us up to date on the studies that have been looking at a possible connection between calcium supplements and heart disease.
Well, so you have to take into consideration that nutrition scientists are like any other profession. You know, there are a lot of plastic surgeons that are, you know, very widespread in the media. But the bottom line is nutrition scientists, sometimes like plastic surgeons, often give crooked nose jobs. And this is one of those instances where we've made a lot of public awareness around an issue where the scientific data is just not there. And it's very poor data, and it's a very small pool of data from the same lab groups. And so, you know, when we look at this entire issue, you have to look at the strength of the evidence, whether it be the data that are supporting a link between calcium and cardiovascular disease is merely population data, where we look at a population versus strong clinical trials that show no link to cardiovascular disease.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowe.
We're talking to Dr. Taylor Wallace, an affiliate professor in the Department of Nutrition and Food Studies at George Mason University, about a lot of press that has been released recently about calcium supplements possibly having a bad effect on your heart. And I think it's important, if you would, Dr. Wallace, to just explain, although you're saying really the data is soft, what is it that is the concern? What would calcium do to your heart? Can you explain the idea that plaque would build up, and that's, I think, what the concern is?
Right. So the hypothesis would be that if you had an increased intake of calcium, that your arteries might calcify more quickly. And the major problem with that is that when you have inflammation in your arteries, they calcify. And that's regardless of whether you're taking a supplement or whether you have high intake of dairy products or other calcium-rich foods. Inflamed arteries calcify. That's just part of atherosclerosis. That's a normal physiological process in response to inflammation, regardless of whether you take any type of supplemental calcium or regardless of your calcium from food intake. We know that from a biological standpoint, and there are plenty of animal studies and even imaging studies in humans where we show no mechanism for why a calcium supplement would increase the risk of calcified plaques in your arteries.
So this calcification, you're saying it's not just the calcium supplement, but it is just supposedly any source of calcium in the diet. The claim is that it would cause a problem.
No. So calcium in the diet wouldn't cause a problem regardless. The bottom line is inflamed plaques calcify. So if you're eating a diet that's maybe high in saturated fat or added sugars, you're going to cause a lot of inflammation to your arteries. Calcification is a normal physiological process that is in response to that inflammation. So that happens. You could be completely deficient in calcium, and that would still occur in your body.
So I understand what you're saying, that the science is soft and limited to a few sources that just really got a lot of publicity. But if we wanted to play it safe, it sounds like the first thing to do is really find a chart that lists the calcium content of foods and just try to work those in. But if you've been advised by your practitioner to take a calcium supplement, I had heard that some people theorize that if you take a large dose, it maintains a high blood level. Would it be smarter and just playing it safe, maybe instead of taking one large pill a day, to just divide that up maybe twice or three times? Or are you really saying you don't have to really concern yourself with that at all?
You don't have to really concern yourself with that at all. The bottom line is your blood calcium levels always stay the same. Unless you've got something like a rare bone cancer or a special condition, your blood calcium levels will always stay the same. The key is where you get that blood calcium from. you're going to get it two different ways. You're either going to get it from the diet or you're going to get it from your bones. So if your blood calcium levels are okay, your body won't absorb the calcium from food or supplements. If your blood calcium levels need to kind of have a little bump, then you'll start absorbing it from your intestine and from your dietary intake. The same thing happens with bones. If your body can't absorb it because you're not eating calcium-rich foods or you're not taking a calcium supplement, then your body will pull it from the bones, and that weakens the bones.
All right, Dr. Wallace, we only have about 15 seconds, but what do you choose as your primary sources of calcium?
I actually take a calcium supplement because I don't drink a lot of dairy. And I recommend that if you're not getting 3 8-ounce glasses of milk per day, you should supplement with 300 milligrams of elemental calcium per absent serving of dairy.
Dr. Taylor Wallace is an affiliate professor in the Department of Nutrition and Food Studies at George Mason University.
Thank you so much, Dr. Wallace.
Thank you.